Welcome to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show where Anders Leo Lindberg discusses the latest trends in finance and accounting with a global audience via LinkedIn audio. Recorded live, anyone can tune in and take part. Just raise your hand and share the stage. Will you join Anders next time? For now, kick back, relax, and enjoy this week's show.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Hashtag Finance Master Show. We are two-thirds of the way to 100 episodes, I can see here. So it's definitely been, it's become a mainstay, I would say. It's good to have you all back here as we are kicking off a new series, the Top 10 Priorities for CFOs in 2024. We'll be discussing this for the next 10 episodes of the Hashtag Finance Master Show. Very excited to kick off this new series as we are going deeper on the topics than ever, providing longer perspectives, true CFO insights. And if you're aspiring to become a CFO or if you're supporting a CFO, it's definitely also relevant for you. So we provide more in-depth perspectives than ever. We'll be also sharing more content around this on LinkedIn. So look out for even more on this. So it's truly exciting to take the next step in the show here and the newsletter. Go find Trends in Finance and Accounting also here on LinkedIn with it's close to 300,000 subscribers at this point. So lots of people are listening in every week or reading the newsletter in their inbox. But with that said, let's tackle today's topic, managing the next normal as a CFO. The term of next normal may feel is old already. It was introduced around the early days of the pandemic, but next normal is as relevant and a hot topic as ever, I would say. And we'll talk about how CFOs can manage that. So it feels like the world is holding its breath right now. We are on the back of a global pandemic and a high inflationary environment. We're in the middle of ferocious regional crisis and relatively high interest conditions. We're looking into, well, what exactly? We've become accustomed to the fast pace of change in the world and new scenarios previously unimagined, only experienced in a distant past hitting us. This reduces visibility into the future and makes it harder for companies to navigate the business environment. However, to navigate the future we must, and business leaders are looking for insights to help them make better decisions. This heavy responsibility falls on the CFO and the finance function to deliver these insights. To navigate what McKinsey has termed the next normal, we've left the link for it in today's blog post, CFOs need to develop preparedness to ensure the company performs better than its peers, no matter what the next normal brings. That's why managing the next normal is one of the top 10 priorities for CFOs in 2024. In today's show, we dig deeper into how CFOs can develop this preparedness and what would be some next steps for CFOs to take. Overall, you can say it's all about knowing your options. The challenge for most companies is that they're reactive to events outside their control. Perhaps you find it unfair to expect that companies are proactive on something they don't control. However, it is possible to prepare for the unexpected. You won't know exactly what it is, but you can certainly know your options. It starts right from when you develop your strategy. So here's a step-by-step guide to taking charge of the unexpected. There are 7 overall steps. Number 1 is to know your strategic options. Number 2 is to understand the economics behind each of these options. Number 3 is to document the assumptions for the choice between the options that you make. Next, you need to establish what I call confidence intervals for each assumption, meaning a high and a low base, for instance, for where you're comfortable for reality to move. Then you need to develop alternative scenarios for each assumption. So if reality turns out differently, what are you going to do? Once you've done that, this is kind of the pre-work, you need to set up real-time tracking of each assumption. We'll dig into what real-time really means in this case a bit later on, but you need to track these assumptions. And finally, act as soon as reality moves too far from your assumptions. Let's look closer at each of the steps. So, number 1, know your strategic options. This can be an almost incomprehensible area, since the strategic options for a company seem unlimited. However, you can easily boil it down to just a handful of categories to look at. McKinsey, to no surprise, let's say, has done extensive strategy research and found that what determines your strategic success is how many so-called big moves you can make. And they have outlined 5 major big moves: mergers and acquisitions, resource reallocation, capital expenditure, productivity improvement, and differentiation improvement. You will need to make 2 or 3 of these moves in a 10-year timeframe, and you'll need to go all in on them. If you don't pull these levers hard enough, you won't make any significant improvements versus your competitors. To learn more about the rationale behind the big moves, we've also left a link to McKinsey where you can learn more. Don't try to succeed with all of them. Be specific and choose the 2 to 3 moves where you expect to be able to make the biggest difference. We'll even deep dive further on these big moves and the whole strategy process next week when we talk about how CFOs can exercise strategic leadership. So don't forget to sign up for that show too. Number 2, understand the economics behind each. You should carefully evaluate each big move to understand the value creation that could be expected from each of them. This is not just an economic calculation, of course, but also an evaluation of the capabilities you have in your company to execute on the big moves. CFOs should be in charge of this process and take an objective approach to the evaluation. Executives will likely favor some over others simply because they stand to benefit their specific area. However, if the business case doesn't stack up against other big moves, it should be dropped. Number 3, document assumptions for the choice you make. This is where most companies start to get sloppy. Since you've done a thorough evaluation of your options already and decided on a few of them, it's as if those business cases don't matter anymore. They're of high importance though, since the assumptions behind your calculations are what has to be true for the strategic choice to be a good one. Therefore, it's of vital importance that the assumptions are understood by all parties and tested in the strategy room. Ask yourself, what would have to be true for a wide range of parameters, e.g., what would your customers have to do? What would your competitors have to do? What would your employees have to do? And so on and so forth. You may conclude that the chances of success for a specific choice are meager, even if the business case looks good. That's a good thing because you're making more data-driven decisions. Still, you do make choices, and now your assumptions are thoroughly documented. Number 4, establish confidence intervals for each assumption. You may end up with 10 to 15 assumptions with clear underlying documentation. Now you need to establish confidence intervals around each of them. This is the high and low value of the assumption in which you are comfortable for reality to move between and still think you've made the right strategic choice. As a simple example, could be inflation, where you assume it should be at 2%. As long as it's within 0.5 to 4%, you're not worried that your plan won't hold anymore. This is your confidence interval. If reality moves outside this interval, like it has done in recent years, you may need to alter your choices. Number 5, develop alternative scenarios for each assumption. Already when you're deciding on and planning for the execution of the strategy, you can discuss alternative scenarios. Ask, what happens if, and what would we do then? So what happens if inflation is 5%, and what would we do if it was? This allows you to develop action plans, or a plan B if you will, in case you need them, and become proactive towards the unexpected. You may not need these plans, but if you do and don't have them, that can be the difference between thriving or merely surviving as a company. And if you find, let's say, for an inflation of 5%, you don't feel you need to do anything, then you should probably expand your confidence interval. Number 6, set up real-time tracking of each assumption. You will need to track reality versus the assumptions, and ideally in as close to real-time as possible. Depending on the nature of your business, real-time may mean once per month or every second. Using the inflation example, you're likely only getting monthly data. However, there will be many underlying indicators pointing in a specific direction. You then decide if once per month is enough or if you need to track the underlying indicators that are released more frequently. Number 7, as soon as reality moves too far from assumptions, take action. Since you are tracking assumptions in real time, you will know as soon as your confidence interval has been breached. When that happens, it should trigger a strategy action conversation. Depending on the nature of the breach, it may be a discussion between the entire executive team or something that can be handled further down in the organization. You will most likely need to act. However, you need to make a holistic assessment and not just look at one assumption in isolation. Perhaps you have other data points suggesting you're performing well despite the circumstances. If inflation is 6% and you're able to raise prices with 10%, you likely won't need to action confidence interval breach. Action or not, though, there should be a clear conclusion from the strategy action conversation. Make sure to set roles and responsibilities and have clear timelines and accountabilities. In this way, you keep your strategy on track or change it proactively ahead of the competition. So these are the 7 steps to be proactive about the unexpected. Let's talk about what CFOs need to do. It's time for CFOs to review the strategy. So this provides a straightforward and logical approach to strategizing and managing the next normal. Most companies, though, are not at a starting point right now where they can simply go through this process and start a new strategy. Instead, CFOs should take the initiative for a strategic review, or at the very least, a retrospective on the latest strategy process. Each of the steps lend itself to some clear-cut questions to ask. What strategic options do we consider and why? What did the business case or business cases look like? Do we have clear documentation for our assumptions? Do we have established confidence intervals? Do we have alternative scenarios and actions ready? How do we track our assumptions and performance? What would the system be for discussing action plans in case of a confidence interval breach? There are many more questions you can ask here, but at least this provides a good starting point, because you will likely need to ask more questions about each of the steps, but this should help to illustrate the process you should plan for now. You can do this as an internal exercise in finance first, as it will be a great learning experience for the finance leadership team to conduct a strategic review of the company. In principle, anyone here on today's show working in a finance function with access to the company strategy and the financials can conduct this review. It's a very interesting desktop exercise to do, also to understand your company much better, to be able to ask much better questions to the leaders deciding on the strategy. Then present the results of your discussions to the management team and align on your understanding. Ideally, you have considered most of these steps and your strategy is on track. However, as we know, most strategies fail to create the expected value. And so I'm sure you'll likely uncover critical insights to help your company better manage the next normal. My simple question to you is, what's your approach to managing the next normal? Have you gone through a strategy process like this, either being in the middle of it or seeing it from afar? How's your finance team involved in strategy in your company? To help you with managing many of these aspects, we just released on podcast channels a complete series from another podcast that we ran called The Softer Side of Finance, where we are talking about principles for planning and forecasting. Obviously, a critical part of the strategy and execution process. It also has a lot of in-depth insights on how to do many of these steps we have outlined in the 7-step process to managing the next normal. So I highly encourage you to check out those episodes and inform yourselves on how to better do the planning and forecasting. As after all, that is typically what we are involved in finance and in FP&A. So all this is available in the podcast channel as well. I'd also just like to briefly highlight that we recently released our first LinkedIn Learning course. It's called Driving Business Impact for Finance Professionals. If you have access to LinkedIn Learning, you can go and find it. It's 51 minutes and talks about the mindset you need, share some tangible approaches and frameworks for how to drive business impact, and talks about what capabilities we need. More than 13,000 people have already bookmarked the course, and more than 1,000 learners have already started to take the course. So it's very popular already. Next week, as I mentioned, we will deep dive even further on this topic here, talk about how CFOs can exercise strategic leadership. We will deep dive into the five big moves that McKinsey have outlined and five other predictors of potential strategic success and what CFOs should do to try and realize these. Later on, in the top 10 priorities, of course, we will deep dive into other priorities, drive growth, bring down debt levels, generative AI, talent trends, better planning and forecasting, and much more to come. So with that, thanks a lot, everyone, for listening in today. Hope you found it valuable. Listen in to previous episodes in your podcast channel. And hope to see you again next week. And as always, you can find me on LinkedIn whenever you want. I'm here, ready to help. Thanks, everyone, and see you next week.
You've been listening to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show recorded live on LinkedIn Audio. Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on the latest trends in finance and accounting. And why not join Anders every Thursday on LinkedIn to share your own views and appear in the next episode?